Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show.
Truth Straight Up. Hey, brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and happytrees.co. Once again, joining you from our living room because we're fixing our flooded basement, but everything's moving along fine on that front. I'm happy to have with us, although we wish we were there with you, Dr. Brian Junedep, with a lovely background right now. Hey, Brian,
yes,
thanks
for your
time.
It's a real background, and the breeze is blowing, so if the audio gets crummy, I'll go inside. You
know. That's all right. Well, I'll briefly live vicariously through you. It's raining yet again, and I haven't gone down to my basement because I'm too afraid to look at what might be going on there again. So
I gave a couple pints of blood yesterday, and so I'm not feeling very well.
Chuck, he had a regular routine blood draw.
No, this is unusual. I took a couple of pints out because I have excess red cells.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. So anyway, so if Chuck faints during the show, just stay tuned. You never know if he's going to or not. But he makes it.
Draining is therapeutic, so they can get rid of those evil people.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, you're gonna you know, feel healthy and all the away
your audio is.
Oh, you know what? You're breaking up a little bit, Brian. So we're all moving around during the show.
My background.
Yeah.
My background. All right.
Much better.
Well, the audio, the background is. He's posing for a mugshot. No, I'm kidding. Well, speaking of mugshots, you're posing for a mugshot because you saved someone's life while you were on vacation, and they have now arrested you and charged you with a crime for that. I mean, you had a great column up in American Thinker, basically saying if you're a good Samaritan, you're a chump in this topsy-turvy Democrat world. Crime is okay, but helping people out, saving lives, that's a bad thing.
Well, exactly. It's when self-defense and being a good Samaritan becomes criminalized, God help us. Nobody's going to do anything to help fellow human beings. And on subways, public transportation, which are, you know, roles days where you got mentally unhinged people and dangerous people. If somebody's threatening and you go to their defense, you can be arrested. In Chicago, I just heard the other day, they took down some crazy on the subway, and the security guards on the subway stood around, did absolutely nothing.
Well, and here's why, because you talked about in the column what happened at your King Superstore when the employees tried to actually, I mean, what happened there?
Well, at King Supers, there was a shoplifter wielding a box cutter trying to steal a cell phone, and the employees took him down and held him. He was waving around a box cutter, potential threat to employees, to customers. They took him down and held him until police came. So what did they get for their trouble? Not an attaboy or a reward or a shout out. They got fired. So King Super would rather protect the shoplifter than protect their employees or customers. What if this shoplifter, some customer was in the way and got slashed with his box cutter?
Well, that'd have been okay.
Well, yeah.
That wouldn't have even made the news, but
racist if that's, you know, I mean, well, and that's the thing. You started off talking about the, you know, Daniel Penny, the Marine guy who's been arrested, accused of manslaughter after some schizophrenic guy who they tried to portray as a, because he's black, right, as a hero, the corporate media does. And all of a sudden, you know, he wrestles the guy down. The guy dies. You know, my guess is maybe there were drugs involved. Call me crazy. You never know. But all of a sudden he's being charged with manslaughter. Not like you know, the guy, and they're holding parades and tributes to the crazy guy who was threatening everybody on the subway. But this is, you know, the crazy left district attorneys that we've got, the Soros-backed DAs.
Well, he was being restrained. It wasn't a chokehold. It was a restraining hold. And when you're struggling against that, particularly if you're high on drugs, your nervous system is all jacked up and you can have a heart attack. It's not uncommon. Look at George Floyd. Right. He was jacked up on drugs and he struggled. And bad things can happen when people do that. But it wasn't intentional. You know, Penny wasn't out looking for somebody to kill on the subway. He saw this man as a threat to other passengers and stepped in. And other people praised his actions. And they put him in a rescue position once he calmed down. And that was to protect other people. But who's going to want to do that anymore? Why get involved? Just look the other way. Somebody's getting mugged or beat up. It's just not my business. I'm going to walk away.
And the thing is that it is crazy, you know, and you look at the, you mentioned in your column too, the couple in St. Louis that was just defending their property from rioters. They got charged. You've got these people back in the Daniel Penny case. They're calling him, the other witnesses are calling him a hero. But the DA doesn't care because they don't care that they're hurting people, destroying lives. And they don't care what they're doing to good Samaritans around the country, things like that. They just care about their narrative.
Well, what's interesting is if this goes to trial, there are jurors that ride the subway. I would venture most of the, if not all the jurors in a Manhattan jury ride the subway at some point. And they better think long and hard about the message they're sending to good Samaritans, because someday they're going to be on the subway and they're going to be getting hassled by some crazy. And they may not be able to defend themselves, and they would love for a good Samaritan to step in. Right. Maybe Alvin Bragg should ride the subway.
Yeah, no,
rather than being, you know, driven around with a security guard or something, and not having to deal with that. But everyday New Yorkers deal with that, as they do in Chicago and any other city that has mass transit, even Denver. You know, what happens if this happens on the light rail in Denver?
Right.
Where there's some nutcase that's threatening people and a good Samaritan takes him down before he hurts somebody. And for their trouble, what do they get? Now it's just, you know, get off at the next stop and pretend you didn't see anything.
Well, and you know, you go back to 9/11, you know, and the passengers who were hailed as heroes who tried to stop the hijacking of one of the planes, right? And I mean, that whole thing, it's like, that's what you do. And that they're called heroes. And now all of a sudden, particularly if the person on the other side happens to be black or a minority or a protected community member of some sort, all of a sudden, I mean, that's what to me makes the big difference, right? I imagine that if the guy that they had to restrain had not been African-American, had not been black, probably no one would have cared, right?
Yeah, if it was a crazy white guy wearing a Trump hat and a group of young black men took him down, they'd be hailed as heroes.
Right.
You know, they'd be at the White House getting, Medal of Honor.
What do you think this does? Because, you know, years ago, we did a show at the radio station and a guy had written a book and it was talking about how to teach your kids the good, the bad, and how to tell the difference, right? And talking about how often situations can, you know, on one hand seem black and white, but they're often situational, right? And it is a hard thing to try to teach your parents. For instance, we've had a conversation with Rev, you know, if you were driving and you saw somebody on the side of the road who were by a car with a flat tire and they were waving you down, would you stop or wouldn't you stop? And it's kind of like, well, it kind of depends. And so it's important to have these conversations, but it totally changes. It totally changes the dynamics when it's like, and you could be charged with a crime and end up going to prison and having your life destroyed, or these King Supers people losing your job for doing what seems to be clearly the right thing. And it's all just at the whim of some Soros-backed DA.
Exactly. And I think people will, the lesson to take away is don't get involved. It's not worth it. It's free for all and no compassion or helping of your fellow man. And that's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus talked about helping your fellow man, not walking away. And right. that's what he instructed his followers to do, and that's the right thing to do. But the man that helped in the parable, you know, he wasn't arrested or flogged or crucified or done anything. So that's where we are now, and it's shameful. And that's, I think, parents are going to tell their kids, if you're in this situation, think twice about getting involved.
Well, and it's hard, and you're right. And I think when I read your column, one of the things that struck me is this is just another thing that they want, right? They don't want us to get involved. They don't want us to think we can rely on each other. They want us just to think we have to rely on the government. And in their view, it would be better, like at King Soopers, it's better if the shoplifter slashes a few patrons, right? A few customers. It's better if this guy in the subway had attacked people and hurt people. They'd rather have that than us relying on ourselves, because I think that's their underlying goal, is to make us all fear each other, fear for ourselves, and say, well, we have to be protected then by the all powerful government.
Well, it's just creation of chaos. It's a Cloward-Piven strategy of just totally disrupting society. And we see it from so many directions, economically, foreign policy, open borders. Everything is just a disruptive force, and not in a good way. And it's destroying culture and cohesiveness, and people don't trust each other. And it's you turn a normal, functional, healthy society into a dog-eat-dog society,
right?
And it's ripe for a tyrant or dictator to step in and say, I'll fix all this.
Right.
You give me power and I will fix it and make everything right. Well, yeah, we've seen how that's played out in other countries in history, and it doesn't play out well, but it seems like that's where we're headed.
Well, and I think one of the other things too, like you said, they want to make you uncertain about anything. You don't want, should you or shouldn't you help, right? And particularly in situations where like seconds matter, in terms of saying stuff, right? There are a lot of people, should you or shouldn't you say that? I mean, I think anymore, a lot of times you, at least I know I do, you sort of stop sometimes before you say something because you're like, okay, who might this offend, right? If you're at a restaurant, you watch your conversations. If you're, you know, standing on the sidelines with other parents or kids game, you watch what you say, because the world, because, and it's not even just so much that you might offend somebody else, because that used to be okay. They used to be able to live and let live, but it might be they will destroy your livelihood if they don't like you, right? If for whatever reason, it doesn't even have to be true. Look at that Nicholas Sandman, right? Who was, his life was destroyed. That woman in New York who she had paid for the bicycle, right? And all of a sudden this viral video goes out and she loses her job. And it turns out none of it's true. And it's just this weird place, I think, where you're just, it's hard to be, it's, you have to be brave anymore to act decisively or speak decisively.
Well, it's turning everybody into cowards and just crawling like turtles crawling into their shell. There was a woman a few years ago, liberal woman from New York. She was going on vacation to Africa or something, and she tweeted out something trying to make a joke about something or AIDS or I don't know what. But by the time she landed in Africa, 15 hours later, she'd lost her job and her tweet was viral and she was a pariah over, some innocuous comment. If you don't like the joke, then so what? Scroll past it and ignore it. But
It's
a blood sport now of ruining people.
Exactly. And do we have the ability now, do you think, or is there time to turn it around? I mean, you like to think that in a crunch, somebody would still help me if I was crying help, right? And that I would still help somebody else. I mean, you got to think that that's still how most people feel, but I don't know.
I'd say most people would do that, but I think the trend is going to be less and less because they read about these stories and it's like, why do I want to get involved and why do I want this to happen to me? It's not worth taking that chance.
Right.
Police are like that now too. It's the Ferguson effect. After Ferguson, it's cops in Chicago, you think if there's an altercation going on, they want to get involved. They're not allowed to chase people, and it's just, oh, somebody's shooting somebody, so what? I'm not getting involved. I don't want to lose my job, go to prison if things go sideways. So they don't. I just Sergeant Schultz. No, I see nothing. I know nothing.
Right. You know, you can either and go to a call really fast, or you can, you know, go to a call not really fast. From Charlene, she's saying it's amazing how integrated it all is. Makes me think they've been laying the groundwork through social media for a long time. Well, I think that's true. I mean, I think that's sort of the underlying point, that there is this underlying desire to create chaos, to make prices go up, to have everything be uncertain, and turn everything upside down. And you know, people just like you, we were saying, say, okay, let's just go ahead and let the government take care of everything.
Well, the government won't, because you say, oh, well, this is a local problem. This is Manhattan DA. No, it's a national problem. You look at what the CIA, FBI, and DOJ have interfered in the last two presidential elections successfully. And, you know, they've worked with foreign powers and foreign agents and tried to take down a duly elected government. That's called treason. And there's been no reckoning, no nothing, no accountability. Durham issues this big report, and it's like, oh, there were missteps. No punishment. The perpetrators are all writing books and are on cable news shows, and they're going to do the same damn thing in 2024.
Exactly.
No matter who the Republicans run, you know, DeSantis announced today, and so what? Trump, whatever.
Right.
What are they going to do? They're going to come up with something. They're going to weaponize the systems. So it's not just a local thing, it's a national thing. The rot goes very deep. This goes to the highest levels. If Trump is the nominee, he's going to spend his entire campaign in court, because every Soros DA and Secretary of State and Attorney General, they're going to be going after him for one thing or another, and he's going to spend his entire campaign in court.
Right. I think you're right. And I think, you know, before I let you go, I want to ask you about DeSantis. And I think they'll do it, whether it's Nikki Haley, whether it's DeSantis. I know there's some who say, well, you know, those guys are going to be establishment hacks, so they won't go after him. I don't think so.
John McCain was an establishment hack, and he was everybody's darling until he got the nomination, and they went after him brutally.
Right. Right.
Same with Mitt Romney. He was another establishment hack. And as soon as he was the nominee, it was, you know, he's mean to dogs and he's caused his employees to have cancer and die. And he didn't pay taxes. They lied. They did everything. It's the same thing. And DeSantis, you know, he's not going to get a pass. He's their darling now. And if by some fluke he gets the nomination, they're going to go after him in the big way.
Right. Well, and that means. That leads me to, I want to ask you about then DeSantis and Trump, because one of the reasons that I think Trump is by far the better candidate is he knows all this, right? He's been through it. He's ready for it. He doesn't let it stop him. I mean, you know, they're going to have that bogus hush money, which wasn't hush money, trial during the primary. In the meantime, Jean Carroll, whatever idiot woman's name is going to file another lawsuit. I mean, you know,
there's going to be 100 women that come out of the woodwork and, you know, oh, Trump raped me.
Right.
And as you've seen, left-wing DA that, you know, convenes a grand jury, and that's one-sided, and they hand down an indictment, and here you go.
Right, right.
So that's going to be ongoing.
But I think, though, but Trump, I think, is far better able to handle that. I mean, let me ask you this real quick before, you know, a couple final questions here. Trump, DeSantis, I think DeSantis is obviously, he filed the paperwork with the FEC today and going to announce, I guess, in about 40 minutes or so on the Twitter spaces. What do you make of that? What do you think?
His campaign is being run by the Bushes and Karl Rove, which should tell you a lot. He's being backed by Paul Ryan and Fox News, which should tell you even more. So he is the ultimate establishment candidate. He is Jeb Bush. He is Jeb Bush part two, and he'll have as much success as Jeb did. So I don't think he's going anywhere, and the polls already show that. He's a good governor. Jeb was a good governor. Let them be that. And if they can successfully complete that and somehow make the rise in national politics, great, but not while Trump's around. Trump is beholden to no one, and he fights back. And he's really the only one that can burn the place down and rebuild it. None of the others will. The other Republicans, all they want to do is manage the decline. They're not a disruptive force, and that's what's needed.
Right. No, I think you're right. And I think there was an article, I think in Politico or maybe The Hill today, that was saying that's why Trump remains popular, because that's what, you know, Tim Scott is running on. I'm going to be more polite and more positive. And it's like voters.
John McCain, he's going to reach across the aisle. Well, yeah, he reached across the aisle and Democrats made his hand. So that's right. What he got for reaching across the aisle.
All right. Hey, well, listen, Brian, we will let you go back to your scenic.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking time out. And Charlene says everybody loves you, by the way. They're just saying same page with you. We'll let you go. Now we've got dogs and people barking. We'll let you go. Enjoy your vacation and thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it as always.
All right. Bye. And guys, again, I apologize for some of the confusion here. There's people running around in the backyard as we're getting stuff done. Thank you from Charlene. Truth straight up. Durham gave us a book report instead of a prosecution. Well, let me talk real quick about, if I can't get the dog quiet, let me talk real quick about Ron DeSantis. He is, as I said, he's announcing on Twitter at about 4 o'clock, I think, Denver time. And I think it's interesting that he's announcing on Twitter. So I want to maybe get, Chuck is okay. I think Chuck, for people who missed it, Chuck, I think, had a blood draw the other day for a routine physical. And I think it just kind of gobsmacked him. He probably should have been drinking more water. But he's okay. I can see him right now. He's okay. With DeSantis, though, what do you guys think? And thank you, everybody. Brian is always great. I think there are a couple of things going. Number one, I just don't think he has a chance. I mean, maybe he has a chance, and maybe he doesn't, but I don't think he does. And I think also that it's interesting that he's doing the announcement on Twitter. So before we go on, I mean, I'm not the only one. And like Dr. Donna says, he makes a good governor. I'm not the only one who thinks that, you know, Trump has a much better chance. The polls show that. I guess all of the polls, not just a few. But even Bret Baier on Fox, who is certainly no Trump lover, said the same thing. This was what he had to say in an interview yesterday. If you could please play the Baier soundbite.
Is overwhelmingly leading by, you know, as you pointed out, dozens of points in the latest polls, every poll, not just one poll, every poll. So something has to change dramatically, to Carl's point. And there may be events that we don't know. There may be other legal challenges that he faces. There may be other things that happen. But there has to be a significant movement to change the dynamic. Right now, former President Trump controls the environment. He controls the base and he controls the messaging. He is spending a lot of money, though, as I noted, going after Governor Ron DeSantis. You don't do that unless you consider that person a threat. And tomorrow, he officially, DeSantis does, gets into this race and potentially could be a threat.
And again, that interview was done tomorrow or yesterday. So the Twitter thing is actually going on today. You know, I think we'll see. Obviously, time will tell. I think that what Brian and I were talking about really holds true. And that is the people don't want. I mean, you know, Ron DeSantis is great on wokeness. He's done a great job as governor. But what I think we need now is a proven fighter. This is a war. We need somebody, a general who we know will be good, who we know will fight for us and say whatever else you want to say about Trump. We know that at least, right? And I think this is not the time for saying more, well, he's just too mean and things like that. We need somebody, look at what they're throwing at us. We need somebody who's ready, I guess, as somebody said, wants to go nuclear back. What else I think is interesting, though, is that he is making the announcement on Twitter Spaces. For those of you who don't know, Twitter Spaces, and I think anyone can watch it. I don't think you have to have a Twitter account. Correct me, somebody out there, if I'm wrong. But I think you could just go to twitter.com at 4 o'clock. And then Elon Musk is going to be, I guess, interviewing Trump. And they're going to have a moderator there. It'd be curious to see how that actually plays out. My guess is, could be wrong, but Elon Musk will probably be more fair than any number of legacy media outlets. But then he's going on Trey Gowdy, who's filling in on the Tucker Carlson show, and then Mark Levin. So it's interesting. Fox is cute. They're promoting it, saying the first network interview or traditional interview or something like that, right? But clearly DeSantis is like, yeah, there's Tiger in the background there, guys. I don't need, you know, Fox News. I don't need any of this. I'll just go on Twitter, which is going to be just this live format so he can say what he wants to say. Elon Musk has 141 million followers. I mean, that's bigger than you know, any kind of network thing. So I just think it's interesting that things have shifted enough to where you're making a presidential announcement and you're not going to worry about CNN or anybody of these other organizations, you know, screwing you over. Basically, you're just going to go on Twitter. And I think that says a lot about what Twitter means to the world. I think it's kind of funny. He also said, because somebody asked him, he said, yeah, he said, I'll have on Trump, Biden, RFK Jr., anybody. He said, so, you know, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be just DeSantis, although he has said he has backed DeSantis. Charlene says, I will never be watching Fox again ever. So nice try with that. Yeah, exactly, Charlene. I don't think it's going to make that much difference to Fox that Trey Gowdy is on there. But I do think it's just kind of interesting what's happening there. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that later. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I think we're going to end a little early today because I have to go pick Rev up at school. We'd have just a few more days of school left. The whole Target thing. So as you know, Target was had its Pride segment up, and they had some items. I don't know if I'm going to say this right. Ab Pralin items, which are designed by a guy named Eric Carnell, who's a Satanist. Now he says, I'm a nice Satanist. It's like, okay, I've covered Satanism and Satanists in my career, you know, years ago. And Satanism, it is evil. Satanism is the rejection of God. It is the pursuit and of sin and the pursuit of evil with a heavy emphasis on pedophilia. That's why it's so disgusting. I think that Target was featuring all of these pro-trans, I mean, I can't imagine what would motivate some mother to buy a trans onesie for their newborn, or, you know, the tucket swimsuits. But the backlash was strong, and I think Target's going to find itself in a Anheuser-Busch Budweiser kind of situation because they have now, first they pulled them from some stores. Apparently now they pull the items from all their stores. I'll go to our Target tomorrow and check. I did look online, and you can't find if it's Ab Pralin, you can't find their products, swimsuits for kids. You can still find them for adults or sweatshirts for adults, but I didn't see anything online for kids. But you know what's going to happen is now all of a sudden then the LGBTQ group is going to go after them the same way they did at Anheuser. All they're going to do is make everyone mad. But this is a great video. Some mom went to Target and this is what she found. If we could please play the Target video.
This is the child section. This is literally the kids section. I'm next to a literal onesie that says whatever the hell that means. We have Glad You Came Out, and I'm So Happy That You're Queer in the kids section. Are you kidding me? I'm sorry, but pride and toddler don't belong in the same sentence. So I found an extra small swimsuit in the child section. It says light binding effect on it. And then the bottoms in the kids section, keep in mind, say tuck friendly construction. They're giving it to your kids. If that doesn't give you a reason to boycott Target, I don't know what does. But this shit's getting out of hand. They're targeting children, whether you like it or not. And it's time that people actually do something about it. Because if they don't, then guess what? That shit won't just be in Target. It'll be in every store ever.
And you know what? I mean, I saw that and I thought to myself, you know, a lot of times there's certain things I like to get at Target because they're cheaper there. And I thought, heck no, I'll pay more. It's like, exactly. It's like I was reading a thing. It said, you know, hey, ladies, the men did their part boycotting Anheuser-Busch and Bud Light. Women need to do their part now and boycott Target. Target sales already, I think, not what they were hoping for this quarter or even this year. Anheuser-Busch, their stock was the lowest it's been in some time this morning. And then they've lost billions of dollars and they're having to buy back their expired beer. So and then Leo, can we sue Target if our junk is too big to tuck properly? That could be discrimination, Leo. I think that's discrimination. And from Charlene, that video on Twitter was awesome. Just a mom. Exactly. And, you know, like I said, normally I kind of do my Target shopping kind of midweek. And because, again, there's some stuff there that's cheaper. But I decided, no, not going to go there again. Not going to support that because as we keep saying, there are more of us than there are of them, but we have to use our power, right? It's like Wizard of Oz with Dorothy. It's like you had the power all along. And guys, listen, I'm gonna apologize. Chuck, as I said, is feeling a little bit under the weather after the blood draw. He was going to finish the show. I have to go pick Rev up at school. So Thomas, I hope I'm not catching you by surprise, or everybody by surprise, but we're going to wrap it up a little bit early today. But we will be back for the full show on Party Friday. And just as a tease, we've got a great video, Leo, of some guy. He's a comedian who tried on the Tuckett swimsuit. You're going to want to see that. So everybody, thank you for your patience and letting us off a little bit early today. Thank you to the great guys at BBS, Dr. June Depp, and everybody on Zoom. And we will see you all on Party Friday.